We are on the bottom of the Vavam base. Kohen Shemarcha Soro Yisrael Vormalei Almanas Shehu Amaisa Shali. The Kohen owns the field. He sells the field to another plain Yisrael and makes a conditional Manas that he, the Maisers, that means the Trumas and the Maisers, should belong to him. Hamaisa Shalo, it's good. It's no problem. There's no Isser over here. It's not considered Kohen HaMasayim Beis HaGvaras. He's just simply making a condition. Anything over here? Mace, but the point over here is what? If he dies, then it ain't Levana B'Meister. Since he said the condition was Shali, but if he's not around, the Yarshim do not inherit the privilege of the Meister. Next page. Nun Zayin Amud Aleph. But if he said Li Ulevonai, if he said it should be, the Meister should be both for me and for my sons, Li Ulu Yarshai, or my inheritance, people that his heirs, Yeshlam Meisters, Levonim Meisters, Li Yarshim Meisters. Then everybody gets these Meisters.
That's not considered slimy.
That's not considered what?
Slimy.
Yeah, it's not a problem. Rabbi Yudim Bar Shom Bomi Kumi Rabbi Yaisi, I could don't be Yarshim Shain Dvar Torah. He asks a funny question. He says, okay, this is talking about, we understand if it's your Yorish Min HaTorah, the biblical Yarshim, there of course are rabbinical Yarshim. So what would be Afilu, if it were not biblical? So the way he has it, this is the answer. Afilu Bi Yarshim Shein Dvar Torah, the answer is, you of course can read that as part of the question. Afilu Bi Yarshim Shein Dvar Torah. But the way we have it is he's asking a question and the answer is yes, even Yarshim which are Drabbanan. There are some examples here of Yarshim Drabbanan. And number three, he says, the seller is not a Kohen, but a Kohenis. And the heir is her husband, who according to some, it's only a husband inherits a wife, Midrabbanan. That seems to be a Shaila. Any other examples here? Anyway, I thought there were other examples here. I think in the Hebrew they give more examples. Anyway, so the bottom line is it says that even if it's Drabbanan, it also works. So it's a funny question to begin with. Like, we're talking about selling something with a condition, so why would a condition only be good Min HaTorah on a Yarsh Min HaTorah and not Drabbanan? It's a question of what his das was. Is that the question? I don't know. In terms of the framework of making a kinyan, I don't see any reason why it should make a difference. Anyway, she'll call Maisa Shali because Manshu Lefanov. Now, if the Kohen says, I'm selling you with a condition that all the Maisas are mine as long as the field is in your possession. Because Manshu Lefanov, as long as the field is in his possession, that is to say, the buyer's possession. Yehua Maisa Shalai Kozman Shulufanov, then as long as it's right, then it belongs to him as long as it's the buyer. But Machal Acher, if he sells it to somebody else, Ein Lama Maisa, he doesn't get it. The Kohen loses the rights.
That's
not really that big a Kiddush. Now we're getting to the bigger Kiddush. Chazar Ulo Kocha Mimenu, if he buys it back, then Tani Reb Chiya ain't lo b'maisras. So there's two versions here. One is that he doesn't get it back, and Tani Reb Chiya yesh lo b'maisras, he does get it back. So we have a shaila here. Does the original condition that I set forth when I originally sold you the field stick with the field? You know, you could say like this. You could say, you know, what's your right when you sell the field? You can only sell what you own. You can't sell more than you own. So what did you sell the third party? You sold him the rights to the field, less the maestress, that go back to the coin. Okay, but obviously he can't control the field after it leaves his rishus. It's a funny concept, right? How long does a condition remain with the sale? We always say, kol schus shetov liyada, right? You only sell what you want, what you have a schus in. So.
So I never sold that.
So, but it's not true you didn't sell that. We said that. Everybody agrees that as long as it's in the third party's rishus, that the Kohen
doesn't
get it. So that he obviously did sell. So when he gets it back, okay. So now the Gemara is going to have some examples. This machlokas between these two brises, these two Tanoim, Reb Chiya and Reb Yishaya. So are they Tanoim or are they Amorim? Am I getting this wrong? Reb Chiya and Reb Yishaya, are they Amorim or are they Tanoim? They learned the Tosefta. So does that make them the compilers of it? Or I don't remember. Whatever. So the Gemara says like this. He says over here, the views expressed by Reb Chiya and Reb Yishaya are those expressed in an Amoraic dispute on another topic. Usually, the Gemara, when it says, Lema Ketanoi, you know, it sounds like this is Amorim against Amorim. Okay, let's assume that for the time being. It says over there, person was garish his wife, and then he remarries her. So the first time when he got married, he wrote her a ksuba, Mosayim Zuz, right? Like he was supposed to. Then he's megarish her. He doesn't pay her ksuba. This is what happened. He didn't pay her a ksuba. Now he remarries her. He does not write a ksuba for her the second marriage. This is what happened. So we assume that it was on the first ksuba that he relied upon. Now there's two chidushim in this, right? There's two chidushim. First of all, the second time he marries her, she's no longer a basula, presumably, right? So she's a ba'ula. So her ksuba is really a different number. It's 100. It's money instead of Messiah. Number two.
But the still owes her 200.
Now, so that's the question. Does he owe her 200 from the first
Are you
get?
She's money?
Or do we say, no, she's carrying over her ksuba from number one to number two? That's the Gemara is assuming now.
So she's 300
now? No. She's carrying over her original 200 into this marriage. And therefore, if he can megarish her again a second time, then she can, the point here is, her date of collection goes back to the original date of the Shibud from the first marriage.
So you see okay? Here, right so, back to the case, because there's an interruption.
Uh-oh.
And the first bialis still stands.
So let's see what it says over here. So let's see over here. Let's take a look. The Gemara's, you're jumping the gun a little bit, but the Gemara's going to try to make it to Leah.
So you're not thinking that she was Moichel. That
they got back together. Michael Hiksuba? No, no.
For the first
no,
one.
No.
And then, okay.
There's no Mechila here. What he brings over here, for the sake of the remarriage, the wife agrees to refrain from collecting this debt until such time as she divorced or widowed from the second marriage. Okay? So she's pushing off her ability to collect. So there's no mechila here. Yeah, so that's what it says. So Magash is a Yishuv Hechzira. Al Manas Subasa HaRishon HaHechzira. So, okay, fine. Tana Reb Chiya, Reb Chanin, rather. Kumi Reb Law. So Reb Chanin said in front of Reb Law, Train Amorim. There's a machlokas about this last case. In the details, Chad Amar one says, "Luksuba avalola tanoim." Again, remember that besides the base ksuba, you always have the option to do tosefes ksuba. You can add to your obligation voluntarily. You could have what they call here in English supplementary stipulations. Okay, so the one says that when we say that we go back to the original ksuba, we mean just the ksuba, but not the tanoim. So if in the first ksuba there was, what's one of the examples of a tanoim ksuba is, for example, when he married her, she had a child from another marriage. And he could write in the ksuba, I agree, if I divorce you to support that child, which is not my child, it's your child, for 5 years after the divorce. So that was a voluntary thing he threw in there as a freebie, so to speak, into the ksuba. That was their first marriage. Now they get they remarry, and he divorces her again. So we said almanas ksuba rishayna umigarsha. So the Gemara is saying the first one, this first position here, Chad Omar, says that does not include those additional things they added the first marriage. Those are out. It's just the basic ksuba. And Chad Omar, Bein Luksuba, Hasa Bein Luksuban, one says, no, that includes everything. Whatever the original stipulations were there are all in force. So the Gemara tries to be Tola the Machlokas, right? Mandam Luksuba, Lolotnoim, Ein Loba Maisres. So the one that says that it includes the ksuba but no conditions, so then the kohen has no rights to the maestress if it was sold and then repurchased, he does not get those rights back, so to speak. So the Gemara is trying to make a clear here, which is not really it's not so solid, but. We've seen this many times. The idea here is, how far does the stipulation go? Does it carry in full that I'm even going to have to give you the Tanaik Suba? So in that sense, if I made a stipulation with you that it calls Manda, it's in front of you, then I get the Maestros. So even if you sold it to somebody else and then repurchased it, I still get it. Okay. I think that somebody asked questions about this comparison. But anyway, let's keep going. That's the Gemara here. Next. Now, according to Reb Chiya, this is a question. Okay, Reb Chiya said before that when you return the field to the original buyer, it does not restore the coin's claims, right? So, in other words, You won't have to give the coin any further maestro. Satani, we have a raisal, kibul sodem e kohenes. So let's get this case clear. You had a woman owning a field. She's a kohenes. So before she sells the field, anything that grows in the field, she could take all the trumas for herself, right? She's a regular kohenes. She owns the field. Now she sells the field to a Yisrael. Now, hamaestres shalom. No, not sell. I'm sorry, I said the wrong word. Kibel, we're talking about where it's a sharecropping. It's a lease the field, right? A sharecropper. So the sharecropper is taking the field from the Kohenes. So now all the Hamaisa Shalosh, she gets to keep the Maisras. That's the rule always. We had an Adalid that a Kohen that gives Israel, that all it's understood that he gets all the Maisras. Now, what happens next? Here, the plot thickens. She goes ahead and she marries a Yisrael. So what happens when a Kohenes marries a Yisrael? She loses her rights to the Trumas and she can no longer eat it. Okay. So is that going to change the deal? When you sold me the field, you were a regular single Kohenes, you were able to eat the Trumas yourself. And therefore, it was understood.
Why shouldn't it somebody
else? What?
I mean, does she have the power to give it to somebody else?
Does the Yisrael now have to give her all of the trumas, or is this like a regular case of a Yisrael with kablonis where we split it 50-50 or whatever, right? That's the question. This is the Yisrael, Cholkim Mamaisis. So it says they divide it up. Then the Nisar Malon is Garsha. Then it says in the Brisa, I mean, this is a stated fact. We're quoting a Brisa here, right? Atoni, this is a Brisa. So the Brisa says, if she marries, she loses. Not loses completely, it's the regular split of a regular Yisrael condition where we have matching whatever the chalukah is, right? The Samalon is Garshom. Now she goes ahead and she gets divorced, right? So now she goes back as a Kohenes. Let's assume she has no children from that Yisrael. So she goes back as a Kohenes to be Roy to eat, right? Kozala base Aviha. She gets Roy to be what? To eat Trumas, to eat regular Trumas. So now the Brisa says she returns to her original deal, that she gets all of the Trumas. That's what it says, right? Chazra the Chilasa. So now this seems to be difficult on Reb Chiya. Reb Chiya said that if the Kohen sold it Almanas, that he gets all the kol zman that it's lefanov. He gets all the trumas, and then it gets sold to somebody else, and then he repurchases it, then he doesn't get it back to the original state. And over here on the brayso it says when she marries it and gets divorced, it does return to the original state. It's a stira, that's the kasha. Does that make sense? Okay. Gemara differentiates between the case of the Kohenes and Reb Chiya's case. Okay, let's keep in mind. Remember the two cases. Let's just review the two cases quickly. What's Reb Chiya's case? The Kohen sells a field to Yisrael, calls man that it's Lefanov, he gets to keep the Trumas. All right, that's that case. If he sells it out, if he sells it again, repurchases back, he loses it. By the Kohenes, it's not a case of Mechira, it's a case of Kablonis. This is a very important point. It's not that she sold it to a Yisrael. It's a Kablonis of a Yisrael from a Kohenes. And at that point, she gets it all, like that's the din. She marries, it becomes a different kind of arrangement. She gets divorced, it goes back to the original arrangement. Those are the two cases. Kan Shemachar, here in Reb Chiya's, that's Gemara's answer. Kan Shemachar, here you sold the field, Kan Shekibel. There's an obvious difference between these two cases. In the case of the Kohenes, there was a Kablonis. In the case of Reb Chiya, it was a case of Mechira. So therefore, a Mechira is more of a separation. It's a separation that the Kohen is no longer attached to his field that he originally sold to the Yisrael. So therefore, what? So it makes more sense that Reb Chiya would hold that once it leaves his lokeach, even though it comes back to the lokeach, he doesn't have it anymore. Okay, but Kablonis, it never really left her possession. She's owned the field throughout the entire time when she married, when she got divorced, but this field has not changed hands. It still was hers from beginning to end. Okay, that's the answer. So Gemara asked a question. We're on the Zaino base. For Hatani Reb Chiya Machra, Reb Chiya, he said like it's a nice thing that I keep saying that it was talking about Kablonis, but he goes ahead and changes the girsa and the rice and says that we're talking about where she sold it to Yisrael. And it has the same dinim. So that's not going to work. On Rav Shulam Bar Avduma, so the Gemara answers, Taman Yotam Yerushal Shneihem. In the case of Reb Chiya, it left the Kohen's Rishos, and it left the Lokeach, who bought it from him's Rishos. Right? He sold, Aaron, HaKohen, sold it to Reuven HaYisrael, right? Reuven Yisrael sells it to Shimon Yisrael. At that point, it's not in Rishos of Aaron. It's not in Rishos of Reuven. It's completely out of everybody's Rishos. So there's a complete break. The Ram Hocha, Yotzis Mershos Meicher, here in the Kohenes, let's talk about what's the case again. So if we just said that Reb Chiya was learning that in the case of the Kohenes, that it was not only where it was Kablonis, that it was even when it was Machra. So now, what's the Machra case? The Machra case was, she sold it to the Yisrael on the condition that she's going to get all the Trumas and Maestras. Then she goes ahead and she marries a Yisrael. At that point, she can't eat it. She can't eat the Trumas and Maestras, so the deal would fall apart. Then she gets divorced. The deal comes back into play. During all that time, what between the Nisusin and the Nisgarsha, the Yisrael that she sold it to, it hasn't left his Rishos. That's what the Gemara is saying. Ram Hocha Yotzis Mershos Mocher. Yes, it left her possession. For Lo Yotzis Mershos Lokeach, but the Lokeach never lost, never changed. So the Kohenes does retain some connection to the field throughout, and therefore, once her marriage to the Yisrael ends, her claim to the Meister, Trus and Meisters, is restored. That's the Gemara over here. Okay. Now, let's go to another thing about here. Another case. Kohen Shemacha sold to Yisrael. The Kohen sold the field to Yisrael, and he says, arba o chamesh shonim, he made a condition. This is a stipulation, right? Whenever we say almanas, I know he spoke about this before. Almanas does not mean a condition. You know, if it's only a sale, if this holds true, not like that. It's a shear. It's a shear in the mechir, right? That the maestros belong to the kohen for 5 years, right? So I sold. Let's say I'm a kohen. I sell Joey my field, and I say, you know, Joey, the next 4 or 5 years. I'm going to get all the trumas and maestros from this field. So, I can tell you, I don't want you to plant a vineyard. If you plant a vineyard, what's going to happen? The first 3 years, it's arla. It's asavarna, I get nothing. The fourth year, it's netar avoy, you take it to Yerushalayim, vaitra, I get nothing. So my condition, I don't get it. I'm not getting any mileage out of this condition, right? So I can remocha on you and control what you do with that field. I put a condition that I got.
You can't plant.
No. I made the condition that you're going to give me the trumas and maestros. So inherent in that condition, since it's for 4 or 5 years, is that I'm going to get something for 4 or 5 years. You can't do things to the field that make it that I'm not going to get anything. Well, that's the point.
I can't sell it, so you're going to buy those to sell it.
What item is there going to be that he's not going to get? What's the condition that's something that he would get?
If you plant wheat. If he plants wheat, then there's going to be...
That's the only thing you could plant. That's not, I mean, no, he's saying no fruits.
Nothing that's chayv netar avoy. Correct.
Right.
Anything that's all netar avoy is off the table. I can be moicha. Or another example, shalola zora isatis. I can't plant, I don't know what woad is, but whatever it is, it's not edible. Shalola asosa steikon, you can't make it a field of reeds. These crops prevent the coin from receiving the benefit of the condition, and so therefore you can't make a mechal. Now, if when I sell it to him, I say that not I'm going to have it for 4 or 5 years, but I say it's going to be Shali Lo'olam, that it's going to belong to me forever and ever, as long as you own the field, I guess. I mean, you raise a good point, Shamsi. I mean, if the guy sells it, obviously, all bets are off. You can't control whether he can sell it. But let's assume for the time being that he can sell it. And we're talking about Kol Zman that he hasn't sold it. Let's assume that. And when I say Shalilo Olam, it's the same thing. So then, though, there's a difference. Then, since I said it's forever, there I cannot object to your planting other items there. Because eventually you'll receive, in other words, maybe you won't get benefit from the condition now, this year, but next year maybe, Mir Tashem, you'll be lucky, and I'll be a nice guy and plant something. Okay. Basically, let's see the gra. Let's take a look at the gra ksavyad base. Let's see. Loyelam and yochalim chayst. So hayuchal likach ha-maisus b'sharei hashonim. He can get the maisus in other years. Inami tamid and yochalim chayst dim kain. Loyel yochal ezra yakonim loyelam. Or the second thing is that the Gra is pointing out the other condition. I have a need as a buyer to have reeds as well. My needs can't be ignored either. So if I make a stipulation of 4 or 5 years, so I'll get to plant my reeds. After 4 or 5 years, I can plant my reeds. But here where it's the Oilam, if we're going to make it that you can never plant reeds, then you know, you're causing an undue hardship for the buyer. So that's an interesting note from the Gra. Okay. Let's see. What's next? Also, of the Kumi Rab Acha Bar Ulo. So there was a case. Came in front of Rab Acha Bar Ulo. It says here that the Kohen seller stipulated that the tithes will be his forever. And then the buyer went ahead and planted reeds. The chayve mitan lechad min asarte de konaya. Rabbi Habaula, who was the postek over there, he required the buyer to give the seller 1/10 of the reeds. In other words, even though reeds are not high of in terms of maestros, he made up like a knas because he felt this was a low down dirty trick that he pulled on the seller, even though this is a case of lo'ilam. It sounds like he disagrees, right? And that's what it says in 12, that Rav Acha bar Ula did not accept the ruling of the previous brisa. In his view, he can even say forever he can prevent the Yisrael from planting crops that won't yield any trumas or maestros. So the Yisrael defied the Kohen. He planted the reeds anyway. So he said he had to give a tenth of the reeds over as a penalty. That's what it says over here. Okay. Next, Yisrael shemachar sodah l'kohen. Yisrael sells a field to the Kohen. B'amalai, he says, Amnashu amaisa shaloi arba v'chamei shanim. He says the Yisrael wants to have the Trumas Amaisus to be his for 4 or 5 years. That's mutter. Mutter. Lo'aylam, but if I make the condition that I want all the Trumas Amaisus from this field I'm selling you, Mr. Kohen, I want them forever. Osir, that's not allowed. Why? She'ein Kohen osa Kohen. This is a great line from this is a Yerushalmi line to remember. She'ein Kohen osa Kohen. One Kohen cannot make another Yisrael look like he's a Kohen, because that's what it looks like. It looks like you're making a condition that you're going to have to give me all the trumas of Maestros. I will avoid it. And I'm a Yisrael, so it looks like I'm getting Matnes Kohuna. I will avoid it. It looks like it's a Vizayan to the Kohuna. That's basically what it says over here. Ein Kohen osa Kohen. Kohen Shemachas on Yisrael. Now the last case for today. The Kohen says, okay, I'm selling you the field on the condition that you, the Yisrael, are going to have the Trumas or Maestros for 4 or 5 years. Also, that's also. Right? I think it looks like, it's also. Now we're on Nun Ches and Aleph, that's before the Mishnah. So it says, the Gemara asks the question, Hocha at Amar Mutter, where the buyer's a Kohen, you're allowed to give, you say to the Kohen, I'm going to ask that the Yisrael gates get to keep them Trumas and Maestros for 4 or 5 years, that's Mutter. The Hocha at Amar Aser, and here where you're saying that the Kohen is selling it to the Yisrael, I'm going to ask that it should be his for 4 or 5 years, we say, it's Aser, what's the difference? In other words, again, what are the difference between the two cases? In one case, it's the Kohen's that's the Mocher. In one case, it's the Yisrael that's the Mocher, right? If the Kohen's the Mocher to the Yisrael, it's Usher for 5 years. And if it's a Yisrael to the Kohen, it's Mutter. So, Kan, Ziko, B'davar Shu B'Shusoi. The Kohen granted the Yisrael something that was in his possession. It's in his power to give. The Kan, Ziko, B'davar Shu B'Shusoi. Here, the Kohen sold the field. He granted the Yisrael something that's not in his possession, right? Because when he sells the field as a Kohen, he sells the field. It goes out of his Rishus. But when he buys the field, then that field is in his Rishus. So that's what the Shaila is. Okay. Ad kan. Lucas tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.